My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
11:25, Ben Solak from ESPN will be our guest. Jay Gruden, you'll hear my conversation with Jay in the 12 o'clock hour. So Denton and I are having a conversation about who, what are under the most pressure entering the 2024 NFL season. We each have like a top five, and then we'll invite calls at 301-230-0980. Who's under the most pressure? It can be a player, it can be a coach, it can be a team, a franchise. My number one is Dallas in general. Mike McCarthy will take the arrows if they don't go to the postseason and win two playoff games. Like, I don't even think winning a wild card round game is enough. Now, if they're the top seed in the NFC, you know, they're 14-3, 13-4, they've got the one seed, they get a bye, and they win a divisional round game, and then they lose in the championship game, and they're one of the final four standing, one of the final two in the NFC, that would be a one playoff win scenario that might work for them. But for the most part, you know, I'm not projecting they'll be the number one seed in the NFC. So they need to get to the NFC title game, period. That's really the best way to put it. For me, the Cowboys, McCarthy, everybody under a lot of pressure. I don't even know if Jerry understands the feeling about his franchise outside of the Cowboy bubble that he lives in, but they're really kind of, you know, easy to mock. Despite all the wins, and they've won 12 games in the regular season, three consecutive seasons, but they just are major, major come-up short chokers in the postseason. They're number one on my list. Denton's number one is Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. By the way, I would definitely agree with you that if the Eagles were to get off to a poor start, he's gone. He's done immediately. You know, they do have, in Vic Fangio, they do have somebody that they could elevate to head coach, even though Fangio was not a good head coach in Denver when he finally got that opportunity. But if they get off to a poor start, what is the Eagle? The Eagles start with the Packers in Brazil. Then they have the Falcons, Saints, Bucks, and Browns. Yeah, I mean, they've got to start quickly. Sirianni, would you say, what are the odds of the first coach to be fired? McCarthy's got to be the favorite, right?
Yeah, let me pull those up right now. McCarthy definitely has to be the favorite in... Actually, no. Dennis Allen is the favorite.
Oh, Dennis Allen in New Orleans.
Yeah, he's plus 300. I mean, Mike McCarthy is then plus 600. Robert Saleh plus 7.
I was going to say Saleh's probably on that list.
Yeah, as is Matt Eberflus, who we're going to talk about here in a second. And then Sirianni's plus 8.
Okay. All right, number two on my list of under the most pressure entering 2024. Lamar Jackson, and by extension, John Harbaugh. Because, you know, all of his eggs have been in the Lamar Jackson basket. And look, this is not about Lamar Jackson being a great quarterback or not being a great quarterback. He's a two-time MVP, okay? He is one of the more unique and dynamic quarterbacks of this era. And as a two-time MVP, let me just mention, he's headed to the Hall of Fame if his career continues, and it probably doesn't have to continue for that much longer for him to get serious consideration. But there is a ton of pressure on Lamar Jackson. And again, by extension, I would say John Harbaugh. As good of a coach as Harbaugh's been, he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. The Ravens haven't done it in the postseason during the Lamar Jackson era. Not to mention that they've lost games in the postseason, you know, at home. As, yes, last year's AFC title game was against Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. They scored 10 points. Lamar Jackson turned the ball over twice. Critical moments. They lost at home to Tennessee when they were the one seed in 2020 with Lamar Jackson as the starting quarterback that whole year and as an MVP. Baltimore's got to get to a Super Bowl. They might not have to win a Super Bowl, but they have to get to a Super Bowl. There is pressure on Lamar Jackson and by extension John Harbaugh, big time pressure this year to get to a Super Bowl. They're my number two on this list. What's your number two?
Number two, very similar to you. It's a quarterback and then by extension the head coach. But I'm looking in Buffalo with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. This is going to be a completely different looking Buffalo Bills team now with no Stephon Diggs. And really, as we sit here now, no definitive number one wide receiver. I mean, I think Keon Coleman
could be
good.
Who is the number one wide receiver there? It's not Curtis Samuel.
It might be Curtis Samuel.
Really?
They do have a big-time tight end.
I mean, they do have...
They have Dawson Knox, or Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. But right now, I mean, listen to this. Their wide receivers, Khalil Shakir, who's good, but he's probably like a three. Keon Coleman, who has never played an NFL down, and Curtis Samuel.
Florida State, yep.
Yeah, so like, you look at the... I mean, they have Marquez Valdes-Scantling. That doesn't move the needle.
Yeah, I mean they don't have a true number one wideout, and regardless of how big of a pain in the ass Steph Diggs has been wherever he's been, and we'll see what happens with him in Houston, but he's a number one wide receiver.
Exactly.
And in this day and age, you gotta have one.
You gotta have one. And you know, Josh Allen has a lot of the things that you just said about Lamar Jackson, although I would actually twist it because I do think, generally speaking, if you're to ask just, you know, normal NFL fans, most people probably hold Josh Allen a little bit higher on the quarterback pecking order than Lamar Jackson, despite Lamar's multiple MVPs. But the multiple MVPs are the one thing that Josh Allen does not have. So I look at him being under the most pressure. And then Sean McDermott, if it doesn't go well for them, he's the one that's getting fired. They're going to try and bring somebody else in and maybe revamp the whole situation with Josh Allen, but because they look at him, multiple people, I mean, you have said that you think he's the second best quarterback in the NFL. I think he's a top four quarterback in the NFL. That seems to be widely regarded across the league, yet we always see them fall just a little short, whether it be to Kansas City, to Cincinnati, whoever, in the postseason. It always feels like they're on the outside looking in when the games really, really start to matter.
So two things. I'm surprised that you have that as your number two, because I think it's not that it's a rebuilding year for Buffalo, because you can't be in rebuilding mode when Josh Allen is your quarterback, right? But in many ways, there's much less expected of them this year than there was last year or the year before. And then secondly, as it relates to kind of the comparison between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and I'm pulling it up right now as I speak, but Josh Allen in losses in the postseason has been brilliant. He's been an incredible postseason quarterback. Lamar Jackson has not been. So Lamar is 2-4 in the postseason. 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, a 57.44% completion percentage. He's not played well in the postseason. Josh Allen, as a starting quarterback in the postseason, is 5-5, 21 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 64.55% completion percentage. And let's not forget, he has played in some of the more brilliant playoff games in recent memory. The 42-36 overtime loss, when they never got a chance to get the ball after he drove him down the field and threw to Gabe Davis, right? I think it was Gabe Davis for the touchdown to tie it. And they lost to the Chiefs in overtime in that one of the greatest playoff games we've ever seen. And then they had, you know, another gut-wrenching playoff loss last year to the Chiefs. They had the championship game loss to the Chiefs when they clobbered the Ravens in the postseason.
Yeah.
I just think that Josh Allen's postseason performance is apples and oranges compared to Lamar's.
I would agree with that, but because people hold him much higher, like there have been games where I felt
he hasn't won an MVP.
He has not won an MVP. But
yeah.
Speaking of that, I mean, did you see the graphic that was thrown up on socials yesterday?
No.
So it's a list of the most turnovers since 2020. It's separated into tiers. By the way, tier number 6, Carson Wentz, Commander's legend. He played 39 games in that span. He turned the ball over 42 times.
These are QB turnovers?
These are QB turnovers.
Let me guess. I haven't seen this list.
So there's 6 tiers to this.
What are the tiers titled?
So tier 6 is 40+. Tier 5 is 45+. Tier 4 is 50+. Then you get a 55+ for tier 3. It takes a big jump. Tier 2 is 65+. And then tier 1 is 75+.
So you're about to tell me Josh Allen is tier 1.
Right? Josh Allen is tier 1 by... Yeah. 14 turnovers.
Yeah. Well, there's he's no had a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
There is no doubt. Ironically, they haven't come in the postseason in the games that have mattered the most.
Except for that one postseason game against Houston. That was years ago. I don't hold that against him now.
That was the first playoff game.
The
right?
First one where he lateraled it when he shouldn't have. And
yes,
everyone was just
that.
Like, dog, yeah. What are you doing?
Okay. Is Trevor, what is it, the last how many years?
Since 2020.
Is Trevor Lawrence on that list?
He is tier 3 at 60 turnovers.
Is Daniel Jones on that list?
Daniel Jones, shockingly, Daniel Jones has only turned the ball over 41 times in that time span. I mean, that is the most surprising number of this entire thing.
I'm just looking through the standings here to try to come up with quarterbacks. I don't know.
Well,
tell me.
Hilariously, Tom Brady is on the list, despite the fact that he hasn't played in 2 years at 41.
How about Jameis Winston?
No, he hasn't played enough.
Oh, he hasn't played enough.
Yeah, he hasn't played enough. The tier 3 guys are Derek Carr at 61, Trevor Lawrence at 60, and then Jared Goff at 58.
Okay.
And Lamar's at 51, Mahomes 54, Kirk 53, Stafford 52, and then it's just everybody at that point. I mean, when you played so many games in that time.
Yeah, I mean, when you've played so many games and you've thrown so many balls, you're gonna have some turnovers. I bet Aaron Rodgers isn't very high on that list.
He is not. He is nowhere to be found here.
Because he didn't really throw many picks, despite throwing the ball a lot, right?
Yeah, not only he didn't play last year, but even if he did play last year, I mean, there were a couple of years, those MVP seasons, he had like 4 picks.
Exactly. Speaking of that, continuing with our list then. So my number one entity, you know, player, coach, team, whatever, on with the most pressure entering 2024 is Dallas and Mike McCarthy specifically. Number two for me is Lamar Jackson, by extension, John Harbaugh. The Ravens have to get to a Super Bowl. Lamar's got to change the narrative on his postseason performance. And by the way, he will have plenty of opportunities to do that, but he's got to do it sooner rather than later, because as great as he's been in the regular season, it's been a dud in the postseason. You had Sirianni in Philadelphia number one, Josh Allen and Buffalo number two. For me, number three is the guy we were just talking about, Aaron Rodgers. Look, in two of the last three seasons in which he played, he won the MVP. He will go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks that has ever lived. He won a Super Bowl, came up awfully short in a lot of postseasons. Some of the time, not his doing. Some of the time, he was part and parcel to it. But this, you know, persona that he's taken on off the field of being this, you know, deep thinking, you know, at times very political. By the way, you saw he apologized the other day for saying that he was immunized during COVID, whatever. The injury on play number four on one of the most electric nights of the season last year that went completely silent after four plays. I mean, the anticipation of Aaron Rodgers against the Bills on Monday Night Football, of the Jets in general last year, was more than anything else that we witnessed during the offseason. And he comes back and, you know, he took the trip to Egypt and he missed some of the offseason time. And the bottom line is that at 40 years old, this is going to be kind of the last chance, you know, maybe in 2025 as well. But I think Aaron Rodgers has to lead the Jets to the postseason. I think there's a lot of pressure on him. I bet he feels it to a certain degree. By the way, I think he'll deliver if he's healthy. But I think there's a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers to get the Jets to, you know, call it 10-plus wins and the postseason. I don't think he needs to win the Super Bowl. Look, in the AFC, with Kansas City, with Baltimore, with, you know, Cincinnati, with, you know, it's going to be hard to get to a Super Bowl. I think if the Jets got to the playoffs for the first time in 15 years and won a playoff game, that would be a massive success. But I think there's pressure on him to get that done. He's number three on my list.
Number three for me is Kyle Shanahan. You know, we hold him in very high regard on this show because we recognize that he is brilliant at his job, but he's come so close on multiple occasions to hoisting the Lombardi, and it's been stripped away, and it's been stripped away. And, you know, dealing with Mahomes is a completely different beast, so I understand that element of it. But having it, it feels like he just constantly kind of finds creative ways to lose. He's a part of the 28-3. Then his quarterback, who he traded for, overthrows a wide open Emmanuel Sanders. And then last year they lose in overtime. So he finds creative ways to lose in the Super Bowl. But I hold him in such high regard. I'm looking at him saying, all right, like, this could be the final hurrah for the way the 49ers are currently constructed. We know Ayuk wants he wants out. Deebo Samuel probably is going to want out soon. You're going to have to pay Brock Purdy, and once you pay that quarterback, it makes it very difficult to keep everybody else around. You start have to rely on these rookie contracts at other important positions. So this might be the last real great opportunity for, you know, 2 or 3 years for this team to win a Super Bowl. And you look at their standing in the NFC, and they're the projected favorites. So I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan saying he's under a lot of pressure this year.
Yeah, they're my number four. The 49ers are my number four and Kyle Shanahan. The interesting part of that is that if they don't win the Super Bowl next year, it's not like Kyle's losing his job. You know, there's no pressure on him job-wise. He has proven to be an elite head coach. The organization has proven to be a first-rate organization, no doubt. You know, John Lynch, by the way, is tied to Kyle to a certain degree. I just think that, like you said, if it doesn't happen this year, if they don't get over the hump and win it, and wouldn't we all love to root for a team that's been to two Super Bowls in the last 4 years, was on the verge of two others, right? They lost two NFC championship games, one in which, you know, their safety dropped an interception that would have ended the game against the Rams. And the other one was when their starting quarterback, backup quarterback, and third string quarterback essentially all got hurt, and you had Christian McCaffrey taking Wildcat snaps at the end of the game at Philadelphia. We'd all love to in this town anyway, to have been able to root for what San Francisco has achieved. I mean, he has proven himself to be an elite head coach, but the window is closing, and they better get it done this year, because if they don't and they have to pay Brock Purdy next offseason, or make the decision on whether or not to pay Brock Purdy, it kind of may start all over again for them. You know, he's had a couple of bad seasons. It's not like every single season under Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Now, the seasons in which they've struggled were seasons in which they lost their starting quarterback, right? They had the one season with Garoppolo out, and they were playing Nick Mullins. That was 2020. That was the COVID year, because Washington went down and beat San Francisco late in the season that year. Went out to San Francisco and won that game. He was 6-10 his first year, 4-12 his second year, then 13-3 lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and then Garoppolo got hurt. They were 6-10, and then the last 3 years, 10-7, 13-4, 12-5. All three of those years to the NFC Championship game, two championship game losses, one gut-wrenching overtime Super Bowl loss to the Chiefs. So I'm with you. What's your number four?
Number four is Lamar and John Harbaugh. You kind of nailed a lot of the reasons for that. It feels like Lamar is kind of running out of excuses in the postseason. Like, you could look back at the Kansas City game and say, well, why didn't they run? It's the offensive coordinator. You could look back at some of those older postseason losses and say, oh, it was Greg Roman. Like, he wasn't doing, the offense wasn't good. They weren't throwing it. And now I feel like you're kind of out of those excuses. He has to be better in the postseason. You can be really good in the regular season. That's fine. You can stack MVPs. You'll go to the Hall of Fame. All that's great. But my guess is that he's playing because he wants to win a championship. He wants to hoist that Lombardi trophy. He needs to be better in the postseason. A lot of it is now coming down on his shoulders, and I think you'll see it this year.
My number five is Philadelphia and Nick Sirianni. Bottom line is, if the Eagles don't win 10, 11 plus games and get back to the postseason and be a threat in the postseason, winning postseason games, Jeffrey Lurie's starting all over again. I mean, there were already discussions about Sirianni being gone. They're going to pick Hurts over Sirianni if that's where the issue is. So the Eagles are five. But I will tell you, and we'll come back to this a little later on, I think I had a really strong number six on my list. It almost made it into the top five. But what was your number five?
Number five for me is Matt Eberflus of the Chicago Bears. I was stunned that they kept him this year. It would have made so much sense to start rookie Caleb Williams with a new head coach, and then those two guys are kind of linked together for a little bit, and they can grow together. But you allow Matt Eberflus, after the Justin Fields thing does not work, and the offense got better at the end of last year, but they struggled for a lot of his tenure there. Allowing him to keep the job and now be the guy that ushers in Caleb Williams, this organization has their future banking on Caleb Williams being successful, which means if they don't start out very, very well, and they have high expectations, whether they should or not, because they have a rookie is a different story, but their roster is built very, very well, that should make it easier for Caleb Williams to step in and succeed. If that doesn't happen, Matt Eberflus is going to be out of a job, and he's one of those dudes, Kevin. If Matt Eberflus is out of a job, I don't know that he works his way back up to being an NFL head coach again. If he does, it's going to take a couple of years. So this might be his last hoorah as an NFL coach.
All right. For those of you on hold, I apologize. Terrible clock management on my part today, because we have a guest scheduled next. We'll come back to this next hour. Jeff, Joe, Steve, everybody else on hold. We'll come back to this and get your number one, who's under the most pressure entering the 2024 NFL season next hour. I promise. Sorry about that. Ben Solak from ESPN.com will be our guest next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
11:25, Ben Solak from ESPN will be our guest. Jay Gruden, you'll hear my conversation with Jay in the 12 o'clock hour. So Denton and I are having a conversation about who, what are under the most pressure entering the 2024 NFL season. We each have like a top five, and then we'll invite calls at 301-230-0980. Who's under the most pressure? It can be a player, it can be a coach, it can be a team, a franchise. My number one is Dallas in general. Mike McCarthy will take the arrows if they don't go to the postseason and win two playoff games. Like, I don't even think winning a wild card round game is enough. Now, if they're the top seed in the NFC, you know, they're 14-3, 13-4, they've got the one seed, they get a bye, and they win a divisional round game, and then they lose in the championship game, and they're one of the final four standing, one of the final two in the NFC, that would be a one playoff win scenario that might work for them. But for the most part, you know, I'm not projecting they'll be the number one seed in the NFC. So they need to get to the NFC title game, period. That's really the best way to put it. For me, the Cowboys, McCarthy, everybody under a lot of pressure. I don't even know if Jerry understands the feeling about his franchise outside of the Cowboy bubble that he lives in, but they're really kind of, you know, easy to mock. Despite all the wins, and they've won 12 games in the regular season, three consecutive seasons, but they just are major, major come-up short chokers in the postseason. They're number one on my list. Denton's number one is Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. By the way, I would definitely agree with you that if the Eagles were to get off to a poor start, he's gone. He's done immediately. You know, they do have, in Vic Fangio, they do have somebody that they could elevate to head coach, even though Fangio was not a good head coach in Denver when he finally got that opportunity. But if they get off to a poor start, what is the Eagle? The Eagles start with the Packers in Brazil. Then they have the Falcons, Saints, Bucks, and Browns. Yeah, I mean, they've got to start quickly. Sirianni, would you say, what are the odds of the first coach to be fired? McCarthy's got to be the favorite, right?
Yeah, let me pull those up right now. McCarthy definitely has to be the favorite in... Actually, no. Dennis Allen is the favorite.
Oh, Dennis Allen in New Orleans.
Yeah, he's plus 300. I mean, Mike McCarthy is then plus 600. Robert Saleh plus 7.
I was going to say Saleh's probably on that list.
Yeah, as is Matt Eberflus, who we're going to talk about here in a second. And then Sirianni's plus 8.
Okay. All right, number two on my list of under the most pressure entering 2024. Lamar Jackson, and by extension, John Harbaugh, because, you know, all of his eggs have been in the Lamar Jackson basket. And look, this is not about Lamar Jackson being a great quarterback or not being a great quarterback. He's a two-time MVP. Okay, he is one of the more unique and dynamic quarterbacks of this era. And as a two-time MVP, let me just mention, he's headed to the Hall of Fame if his career continues. And it probably doesn't have to continue for that much longer for him to get serious consideration. But there is a ton of pressure on Lamar Jackson. And again, by extension, I would say John Harbaugh. As good of a coach as Harbaugh's been, he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. The Ravens haven't done it in the postseason during the Lamar Jackson era. Not to mention that they've lost games in the postseason, you know, at home. As, yes, last year's AFC title game was against Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. They scored 10 points. Lamar Jackson turned the ball over twice, critical moments. They lost at home to Tennessee when they were the one seed in 2020 with Lamar Jackson as the starting quarterback that whole year and as an MVP. Baltimore's got to get to a Super Bowl. They might not have to win a Super Bowl, but they have to get to a Super Bowl. There is pressure on Lamar Jackson and, by extension, John Harbaugh, big-time pressure this year to get to a Super Bowl. They're my number two on this list. What's your number two?
Number two, very similar to you. It's a quarterback and then, by extension, the head coach. But I'm looking in Buffalo with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. This is going to be a completely different-looking Buffalo Bills team now with no Stephon Diggs. And really, as we sit here now, no definitive number one wide receiver. I mean, I think Keon Coleman
could be
good.
Who is the number one wide receiver there? It's not Curtis Samuel.
It might be Curtis Samuel.
Really?
They do have
a big-time tight end. I mean, they do have...
Dawson Knox, or Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. But right now, I mean, listen to this. Their wide receivers... Khalil Shakir, who's good, but he's probably like a three. Keon Coleman, who has never played an NFL down, right. And Curtis Samuel.
Florida State, yep.
Yeah, so like, you look at the, I mean, they have Marquez Valdes-Scantling. That doesn't move the needle.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a true number one wideout, and regardless of how big of a pain in the ass Steph Diggs has been wherever he's been, and we'll see what happens with him in Houston, but he's a number one wide receiver.
Exactly.
And in this day and age, you got to have one.
And you know, Josh Allen has a lot of the things that you just said about Lamar Jackson, although I would actually twist it, because I do think, generally speaking, if you're to ask just normal NFL fans, most people probably hold Josh Allen a little bit higher on the quarterback pecking order than Lamar Jackson, despite Lamar's multiple MVPs. But the multiple MVPs are the one thing that Josh Allen does not have. So I look at him being under the most pressure. And then Sean McDermott, if it doesn't go well for them, he's the one that's getting fired. They're going to try and bring somebody else in and maybe revamp the whole situation with Josh Allen. But because they look at him, multiple people, I mean, you have said that you think he's the second best quarterback in the NFL. I think he's a top four quarterback in the NFL. That seems to be widely regarded across the league, yet we always see them fall just a little short, whether it be to Kansas City, to Cincinnati, whoever, in the postseason. It always feels like they're on the outside looking in when the games really, really start to matter.
So two things. I'm surprised that you have that as your number two, because I think this, it's not that it's a rebuilding year for Buffalo, because you can't be in rebuilding mode when Josh Allen is your quarterback, right? But in many ways, there's much less expected of them this year than there was last year or the year before. And then secondly, as it relates to kind of the comparison between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and I'm pulling it up right now as I speak, but Josh Allen in losses in the postseason has been brilliant. He's been an incredible postseason quarterback. Lamar Jackson has not been. So Lamar is 2-4 in the postseason. 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, a 57.44% completion percentage. He's not played well in the postseason. Josh Allen, as a starting quarterback in the postseason, is 5-5, 21 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 64.55% completion percentage. And let's not forget, he has played in some of the more brilliant playoff games in recent memory. The 42-36 overtime loss when they never got a chance to get the ball after he drove him down the field and threw to Gabe Davis, right? I think it was Gabe Davis for the touchdown to tie it. And they lost to the Chiefs in overtime in that one of the greatest playoff games we've ever seen. And then they, another gut-wrenching playoff loss last year to the Chiefs. They had the championship game loss to the Chiefs when they clobbered the Ravens in the postseason.
Yeah.
I just think that Josh Allen's postseason performance is apples and oranges compared to Lamar's.
I would agree with that, but because people hold him much higher, like there have been games where I felt
he hasn't won an MVP.
He has not won an MVP. But
yeah.
Speaking of that, I mean, did you see the graphic that was thrown up on socials yesterday?
No.
So it's a list of the most turnovers since 2020. It's separated into tiers. By the way, tier number 6, Carson Wentz, Commander's legend. He played 39 games in that span. He turned the ball over 42 times.
These are QB turnovers?
These are QB turnovers.
Let me guess. I haven't seen this list.
So there's 6 tiers to this.
What are the tiers titled?
So tier 6 is 40+. Tier 5 is 45+. Tier 4 is 50+. Then you get a 55+ for tier 3. It takes a big jump. Tier 2 is 65+. And then tier 1 is 75+.
So you're about to tell me Josh Allen is tier 1.
Right? Josh Allen is tier 1 by 14 turnovers.
Yeah. Well, there's he's no had a lot of turnovers.
Two. Yeah.
There is no doubt. Ironically, they haven't come in the postseason in the games that have mattered the most.
Except for that one postseason game against Houston. That was years ago. I don't hold that against him now.
That was the first playoff game.
The
right?
First one where he lateraled it when he shouldn't have. And
yes,
everyone
I do
was just
that.
Like, dog, yeah. What are you doing?
Okay, is Trevor, what is it, the last how many years?
Since 2020.
Is Trevor Lawrence on that list?
He is tier 3 at 60 turnovers.
Is Daniel Jones on that list?
Daniel Jones, shockingly, Daniel Jones has only turned the ball over 41 times in that time span. I mean, that is the most surprising number of this entire thing.
I'm just looking through the standings here to try to come up with quarterbacks. I don't know.
Well,
tell me.
Hilariously, Tom Brady is on the list, despite the fact that he hasn't played in 2 years at 41.
How about Jameis Winston?
No, he hasn't played enough.
Oh, he hasn't played enough.
Yeah, he hasn't played enough. The tier 3 guys are Derek Carr at 61, Trevor Lawrence at 60, and then Jared Goff at 58.
Okay.
And Lamar's at 51, Mahomes 54, Kirk 53, Stafford 52, and then it's just everybody at that point. I mean, when you played so many games in that time.
Yeah, I mean, when you've played so many games and you've thrown so many balls, you're going to have some turnovers. I bet Aaron Rodgers isn't very high on that list.
He is not. He is nowhere to be found here.
Because he didn't really throw many picks despite throwing the ball a lot, right?
Yeah, not only he didn't play last year, but even if he did play last year, I mean, there were a couple of years, those MVP seasons, he had like 4 picks.
Exactly. Speaking of that, continuing with our list then. So my number one entity, player, coach, team, whatever, on with the most pressure entering 2024 is Dallas and Mike McCarthy specifically. Number two for me is Lamar Jackson, by extension, John Harbaugh. The Ravens have to get to a Super Bowl. Lamar's got to change the narrative on his postseason performance. And by the way, he will have plenty of opportunities to do that, but he's got to do it sooner rather than later, because as great as he's been in the regular season, it's been a dud in the postseason. You had Sirianni in Philadelphia number one, Josh Allen and Buffalo number two. For me, number three is the guy we were just talking about, Aaron Rodgers. Look, in two of the last three seasons in which he played, he won the MVP. He will go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks that has ever lived. He won a Super Bowl, came up awfully short in a lot of postseasons, some of the time not his doing. Some of the time he was part and parcel to it. But this, persona that he's taken on off the field of being this, you know, deep thinking, you know, at times very political. By the way, you saw he apologized the other day for saying that he was immunized during COVID, whatever. The injury on play number four on one of the most electric nights of the season last year that went completely silent after four plays. I mean, the anticipation of Aaron Rodgers against the Bills on Monday Night Football, of the Jets in general last year, was more than anything else that we witnessed during the offseason. And he comes back and, you know, he took the trip to Egypt and he missed some of the offseason time. And the bottom line is that at 40 years old, this is going to be kind of the last chance, you know, maybe in 2025 as well. But I think Aaron Rodgers has to lead the Jets to the postseason. I think there's a lot of pressure on him. I bet he feels it to a certain degree. By the way, I think he'll deliver if he's healthy. But I think there's a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers to get the Jets to, you know, call it 10-plus wins and the postseason. I don't think he needs to win the Super Bowl. Look, in the AFC with Kansas City, with Baltimore, with, you know, Cincinnati, with, you know, it's going to be hard to get to a Super Bowl. I think if the Jets got to the playoffs for the first time in 15 years and won a playoff game, that would be a massive success. But I think there's pressure on him to get that done. He's number three on my list.
Number three for me is Kyle Shanahan. You know, we hold him in very high regard on this show because we recognize that he is brilliant at his job, but he's come so close on multiple occasions to hoisting the Lombardi, and it's been stripped away, and it's been stripped away. And, you know, dealing with Mahomes is a completely different beast, so I understand that element of it. But having it, it feels like he just constantly kind of finds creative ways to lose. He's a part of the 28-3. Then his quarterback, who he traded for, overthrows a wide open Emmanuel Sanders. And then last year they lose in overtime. So he finds creative ways to lose in the Super Bowl. But I hold him in such high regard. I'm looking at him saying, all right, like, this could be the final hurrah for the way the 49ers are currently constructed. We know Ayuk wants he wants out. Deebo Samuel probably is going to want out soon. You're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. And once you pay that quarterback, it makes it very difficult to keep everybody else around. You start to have to rely on these rookie contracts at other important positions. So this might be the last real great opportunity for, you know, 2 or 3 years for this team to win a Super Bowl. And you look at their standing in the NFC, and they're the projected favorites. So I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan saying he's under a lot of pressure this year.
Yeah, they're my number four. The 49ers are my number four and Kyle Shanahan. The interesting part of that is that if they don't win the Super Bowl next year, it's not like Kyle's losing his job. You know, there's no pressure on him job-wise. He has proven to be an elite head coach. The organization has proven to be a first-rate organization, no doubt. You know, John Lynch, by the way, is tied to Kyle to a certain degree. I just think that, like you said, if it doesn't happen this year, if they don't get over the hump and win it, and wouldn't we all love to root for a team that's been to two Super Bowls in the last 4 years, was on the verge of two others, right? They lost two NFC championship games, one in which, you know, their safety dropped an interception that would have ended the game against the Rams. And the other one was when their starting quarterback, backup quarterback, and third string quarterback essentially all got hurt, and you had Christian McCaffrey taking Wildcat snaps at the end of the game at Philadelphia. We'd all love to in this town anyway, to have been able to root for what San Francisco has achieved. I mean, he has proven himself to be an elite head coach, but the window is closing, and they better get it done this year, because if they don't and they have to pay Brock Purdy next offseason or make the decision on whether or not to pay Brock Purdy, it kind of may start all over again for them. You know, he's had a couple of bad seasons. It's not like every single season under Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Now, the seasons in which they've struggled were seasons in which they lost their starting quarterback, right? They had the one season with Garoppolo out, and they were playing Nick Mullins. That was 2020. That was the COVID year, because Washington went down and beat San Francisco late in the season that year. Went out to San Francisco and won that game. He was 6-10 his first year, 4-12 his second year, then 13-3 lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and then Garoppolo got hurt. They were 6-10, and then the last 3 years, 10-7, 13-4, 12-5. All three of those years to the NFC Championship game, two championship game losses, one gut-wrenching overtime Super Bowl loss to the Chiefs. So I'm with you. What's your number four?
Number four is Lamar and John Harbaugh. You kind of nailed a lot of the reasons for that. It feels like Lamar is kind of running out of excuses in the postseason. Like, you could look back at the Kansas City game and say, well, why didn't they run? It's the offensive coordinator. You could look back at some of those older postseason losses and say, oh, it was Greg Roman. Like, he wasn't doing, the offense wasn't good. They weren't throwing it. And now I feel like you're kind of out of those excuses. He has to be better in the postseason. You can be really good in the regular season. That's fine. You can stack MVPs. You'll go to the Hall of Fame. All that's great. But my guess is that he's playing because he wants to win a championship. He wants to hoist that Lombardi trophy. He needs to be better in the postseason. A lot of it is now coming down on his shoulders, and I think you'll see it this year.
My number five is Philadelphia and Nick Sirianni. Bottom line is, if the Eagles don't win 10, 11 plus games and get back to the postseason and be a threat in the postseason, winning postseason games, Jeffrey Lurie's starting all over again. I mean, there were already discussions about Sirianni being gone. They're going to pick Hurts over Sirianni if that's where the issue is. So the Eagles are five. But I will tell you, and we'll come back to this a little later on, I think I had a really strong number six on my list. It almost made it into the top five. But what was your number five?
Number five for me is Matt Eberflus of the Chicago Bears. I was stunned that they kept him this year. It would have made so much sense to start rookie Caleb Williams with a new head coach, and then those two guys are kind of linked together for a little bit, and they can grow together. But you allow Matt Eberflus after the Justin Fields thing does not work, and the offense got better at the end of last year, but they struggled for a lot of his tenure there. Allowing him to keep the job and now be the guy that ushers in Caleb Williams, this organization has their future banking on Caleb Williams being successful, which means if they don't start out very, very well, and they have high expectations, whether they should or not, because they have a rookie is a different story, but their roster is built very, very well, that should make it easier for Caleb Williams to step in and succeed. If that doesn't happen, Matt Eberflus is going to be out of a job, and he's one of those dudes, Kevin. If Matt Eberflus is out of a job, I don't know that he works his way back up to being an NFL head coach again. If he does, it's going to take a couple of years. So this might be his last hoorah as an NFL coach.
All right. For those of you on hold, I apologize. Terrible clock management on my part today, because we have a guest scheduled next. We'll come back to this next hour. Jeff, Joe, Steve, everybody else on hold. We'll come back to this and get your number one, who's under the most pressure entering the 2024 NFL season next hour. I promise. Sorry about that. Ben Solak from ESPN.com will be our guest next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.